Hey, let's do a blue short.
Bringing you the latest case law updates on the legal aspects of law enforcement. This is Broadcast Blue.
Hello, welcome to this Broadcast Blue short. I'm your host, Bruce Allen Barnard, and I want to thank you for joining me today on this short case that we're going to talk about. Today we're going to talk about the case of Wenzel versus Storm, and this is a qualified immunity case. This is a civil suit that was brought against a police officer on behalf of a person who the police officer shot. So this is a use of force and a use of deadly force case. It's always good to look at these use of force cases to determine what's reasonable and what's not reasonable, because it's up to the court to decide that based on that reasonable officer standard that we all know about in the Graham versus Connor case. And most of the use of force cases that we see come about in the context of these civil suits, and specifically with respect to qualified immunity, seeking qualified immunity for the use of force. When we have Fourth Amendment implications, when there are other Fourth Amendment search and seizure violations, they tend to pop up in motions to suppress evidence, motions to exclude evidence based on the exclusionary rule for Fourth Amendment violations. But use of force, even though it's a Fourth Amendment decision, ever since the Graham versus Connor case, the use of force, whether or not the degree of force is objectively reasonable under the Graham standard, we usually see that in civil suits, and then the question gets answered when an officer requests qualified immunity. And I'll talk about the mechanics of that, the legal aspects of that, in just a minute. But let's talk about the facts of this case first and kind of frame the situation that we're talking about. First, the facts took place, the event that occurred was in Bourbon, Missouri, which is a little town about 50 or 60 miles southwest of St. Louis on Interstate 44. And when I say a little town, small town, I mean a small town. That the last census recorded 1,632 people, so a little over 1,600 people living in this small town of Bourbon, Missouri, there off of Interstate 44. And Officer Carl Storm is a police officer out there. And when I say that everybody knows everybody in a small town, for those of you who are from small towns or ever lived in a small town, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's kind of one of the drawbacks. I mean, it's great living in a small town. Everybody's somebody in a small town, but everybody is in your business in a small town too. Things don't go unnoticed. It's kind of hard to be anonymous. Now, the person that is the subject of the suit in this case is Gary Wenzel. It's important to understand that Officer Storm had specific facts and knowledge about Wenzel before the encounter that took place on March 5th of 2014 ever happened. And so he knows of this person. And specifically prior to that day, I'm not talking weeks, I'm talking within days prior to the incident that took place, he had information. He had previous information about Wenzel. Wenzel's brother had described him as dangerous. And when he spoke to Officer Storm, he told him he ought to be careful when dealing with his brother, that he's a dangerous person. An officer from a nearby town, and there's a few towns that are strung out there on Interstate 44 that are real close to one another. An officer from a nearby town told Officer Storm that Wenzel had fled when officers tried to pull him over for improper tags, and that they were unable to apprehend him. So he's been told by other officers, hey, we tried to pull him over, his tags are improper, but he fled and we were unable to get him. And so he's been told how dangerous this person is, been told by his brother that he's dangerous, by the suspect's brother. And he's also been told that he tried to flee. And Officer Storm also knew that Wenzel had been in physical altercations with other police officers in the past. And he also knew that Wenzel was currently under investigation by the Bourbon Police Department for the distribution and use of methamphetamine. So there's a whole lot going on here. There are a whole lot of facts that are known to Officer Storm, at the time that he has an encounter with Gary Wenzel. So Officer Storm, he's on the day shift. It's March in 2014. It's a wintry day. The court describes, it says the highways were mostly clear with just a few patches of ice and snow on the country roads. Officer Storm is in uniform, so you can tell he's an LEO. He's on patrol. He's in a marked police car. He's also got an in-car video system in the car, which is pretty important in this case as well, because there's some videotape evidence that the court relied on in reaching its decision. And like most officers, he carried, in addition to carrying his weapon, his firearm, he also carried some intermediate weapons, and in the array on his belt available to him was a baton and pepper spray. You know, different officers carry different types of intermediate weapons. Some carry tasers, some carry pepper spray, batons, or combinations of all of that. You look like you got the bat belt on with everything on there. But on that particular day, he had a baton and pepper spray. And that's going to be relevant when the court addresses the plaintiff's argument. So Officer Storm, earlier that day, Officer Storm had stopped Wenzel's nephew for a traffic violation, and now he's already had Wenzel's brother tell Officer Storm to be careful because his brother's dangerous. Now he's got his nephew, and when he stops the nephew for a traffic violation, he tells Officer Storm to be careful if he comes across Wenzel, because Wenzel said he's not going back to jail, kind of implying that he'll do whatever it takes not to be apprehended and go back to jail, which kind of puts a shiver up your spine if you're an LEO. So after he stops Wenzel's nephew, Officer Storm resumes his patrol, and then he sees Wenzel drive past him. Gary Wenzel, he drives past him, and he remembers that he was told that the officers in the nearby town had tried to that his tags were improper, and they tried to stop him, and he fled. And so Officer Storm decided to check Wenzel's tags based on the information that he had received from the other law enforcement officers in the nearby town. So Storm turns around, activates his lights, and he starts to follow Wenzel. Now this chase is recorded on Officer Storm's video system. There's no audio to it. The audio portion of the system wasn't turned on and wasn't functioning, but there is the video, and it shows that Wenzel, he's fleeing from the officer with the lights on. He sped through a stop sign. He heads out of town, and he's on this chase, this high-speed chase that lasts for 10 or 11 minutes. And the video shows that Wenzel's driving very recklessly, often in the wrong lane, including at points and times when he's cresting hills and going around turns, which puts other people at risk and at harm. So during the chase, dispatch tells Storm that Wenzel is classified as a J3. And what the J3 status, what that code means, is that this classification of this person means that they're aggressive, known to be violent with weapons, and violent towards law enforcement, which just reinforces everything that Officer Storm knows at this point about Wenzel. So as Wenzel's trying to turn onto the snow-covered road, he loses control. He veers. He ends up in a shallow ditch, and he hits into the ditch and comes to an abrupt stop against the opposite embankment of the ditch. Storm stopped his vehicle a few car lengths behind where Wenzel went off the road and opened his door, his driver's side door. And he's looking for a road sign at this point so he can communicate to dispatch where he's at and tell them where he's at and what's going on. And as this is happening, he sees Wenzel get out of his vehicle and quickly starts approaching him. Now, it's just a few car lengths away, right? And with all this information he's got about how dangerous Wenzel is and how he's told his family that he's not going to go back to jail, and now he is very rapidly coming at Officer Storm. Officer Storm could not clearly see his hands. He says as his palms were faced backwards, so all he could see were the tops of his hands while they were down. He did not see any weapons. Officer Storm says he did not see any weapons. And so his hands are at his sides, his palms are facing backwards, so all he sees are the backs of his hand. Storm exited his car, drew his firearm, so he draws down on Wenzel here. He stands behind his open car door and shouts to Wenzel to stop. So he says, "Stop, show me your hands." So he gives him this command, shouts to him, so it's clear that Wenzel heard it. He says, "Stop and show me your hands." The video shows that Wenzel gets out of his car and he walks aggressively towards Storm's patrol car. It says in the video, Wenzel appears to be angry with his arms swinging as he walks. And the video shows that Wenzel did not comply or even react to Storm's commands. Now, remember, the audio wasn't on, and so it's Officer Storm that's testified that this is what he's saying when he draws the weapon. And the video doesn't show any indication whatsoever that Wenzel is complying with what Storm's telling him to do, this command to stop specifically and the command to show his hands. Instead of stopping, he continued to approach Storm with this angry look on his face until he got within a few steps of Storm, and at that point, Storm fired his weapon three times. Approximately 3 seconds of time had elapsed from the time Wenzel exited the vehicle to the time that Storm fired the shot. So he was approaching Officer Storm. Wenzel was approaching him at a very, very rapid pace. Three seconds to go, several car lengths. He was coming at him at a rather fast pace. And after he fired three times, Wenzel was found to be unarmed. And Wenzel ended up dying from the wounds there. So the family, Wenzel's family, brings a lawsuit against Officer Storm, one of those 1983 actions that I was talking about under Title 42 of the United States Code for the excessive use of force. And when this happens, when we get these excessive use of force claims, there is a defense. It's an affirmative defense to the civil suit, and it is the defense of qualified immunity. Now, qualified immunity only applies in civil suits. It doesn't apply in criminal cases against police officers for the use of force. But in civil suits, police officers have the defense of qualified immunity. And when the defense of qualified immunity is raised, the burden shifts to the plaintiff to show that the officer violated, and with respect to the use of force, that the officer's use of force was unreasonable and that it was clearly established that this degree of force is unreasonable at the time the officer used it. So you have to show both that it was unreasonable and that it was clearly established. The officer knew it was unreasonable at the time it happened. If the plaintiff cannot show that the degree of force was unreasonable and was clearly established at the time, then the case is dismissed. The case goes away. The defendant, the law enforcement officer in the case, will be awarded qualified immunity. So Officer Storm sought on a motion for summary judgment, which is how it typically works. He sought qualified immunity, asked for a summary judgment in his favor based on the concept of qualified immunity, and the district court denied qualified immunity. And the district court order, the appellate court says, the district court's order suggests that Storm violated his clearly established right to be free from excessive force because he could see that Wenzel was not carrying a weapon, and even though he didn't see a weapon, that he used deadly force against him. And so the concept is the officer's not constitutionally required to wait until he actually sees a weapon. The visibility of the person's hands is an important factor. The district court for the Eastern District of Missouri denied qualified immunity to Officer Storm based on that conclusion. We'll see what the Eighth Circuit thinks about the district court's decision after this short break. This edition of Broadcast Blue was brought to you by Leah One. Leah One, providing you professional, high-quality training on the legal aspects of law enforcement. Check out Leah One at their website, www.lea.one. Their name is their website address, Leah One, for your legal aspects of law enforcement training needs. The court said for the purposes of their review and on review by the Eighth Circuit, that's Eighth Circuit decision, for the purposes of our review, we will assume that Storm could see that Wenzel was not holding a weapon in his hand. So they assume that Storm saw that Wenzel wasn't holding a weapon in his hands. So they moved on to the legal question, the legal question of whether Storm's conduct violated Wenzel's clearly established federal or constitutional rights. And remember, that's the standard for qualified immunity. And also, just a little side note, and although it's not so much important to LEOs as it is to attorneys, on a motion for summary judgment, if there are any issues of genuine fact that need to go to the trier of fact, which is a jury, then the court cannot rule on the motion for summary judgment as a matter of law. So this has to be, the court has to look, they have to look at all the facts, they have to draw any inferences in favor of the plaintiff in the case to the extent that it's supported by the record, and then the reasonableness of the officer's action as a pure question of law. Only if, as a matter of law, that the officer's conduct was reasonable or not unreasonable, as a pure matter of law, will the motion be granted, the summary judgment be awarded. So that's kind of what we're looking at. That's what we're dealing with going in to the facts in the case. And the court obviously is going to cite a very famous Supreme Court decision from 2009, the Pearson v. Callahan case. So an officer is entitled to qualified immunity unless the evidence viewed in the light most favorable to the plaintiff establish a violation of a constitutional right that was clearly established at the time of the violation. Now, the Eighth Circuit properly analyzed and acknowledged that they analyze excessive use of force, these claims, in the context of seizures under the Fourth Amendment, applying the reasonableness standard as set out in Graham versus Connor. And Graham versus Connor is the gold standard for the use of force in these civil suits, and in determining whether or not there's been a constitutional violation, whether or not the degree of force was reasonable or unreasonable under the reasonable officer standard. And the court acknowledged that the Fourth Amendment required them to base this on the reasonable officer on the scene in light of all the facts and circumstances confronting them. And the officer, the court noted, then they cite Tennessee versus Garner for the concept that the use of deadly force is reasonable where the officer has probable cause to believe that a suspect poses a threat of serious physical harm to the officer or others. And in this particular case, it would be the threat to the officer himself. So the Eighth Circuit reversed the district court's decision. They said that the district court erred when they ruled that Storm's use of deadly force was not reasonable under the circumstances. And considering the version of the evidence, the district court assumed in reaching the decision that the facts, the circumstances that confronted Officer Storm were that of a fleeing suspect who was violating driving rules and very recklessly putting oncoming motorists in harm's way and creating a hazard. Officer Storm was aware of Wenzel's aggressiveness. He'd been told by several of his relatives how dangerous and violent he was. He knew of previous altercations that he'd had with law enforcement officers. He was told by dispatch that he was dangerous, given that J3 status. The manner in which Wenzel himself exited the vehicle and charged towards Storm, while visibly on the video, was angry. It was very much in keeping with his reputation that he had earned during his earlier interactions with law enforcement officers. And given his knowledge of that reputation and what the court says, the three seconds he had to observe Wenzel's approach at him, very rapidly coming at him and wouldn't stop, it was reasonable for Officer Storm to believe that Wenzel posed an immediate threat of serious physical harm to him. And notwithstanding the fact that Storm could see Wenzel's hands were empty and later discovered that he was unarmed. So that is the fundamental decision of the circuit court. And there are four Graham factors: the severity of the crime, the immediacy of the threat, whether or not there is active resistance, and whether or not the suspect is attempting to flee. Some decisions combine those last two and say there are three factors instead of four factors. However you combine them, those are the Graham factors. And what we would have referred to, and what the federal law enforcement training refers to, is the four Graham factors, and many of the courts do as well. The court only focused on the immediacy of the threat, and they noted that there was an immediate threat of significant physical harm based on everything that Officer Storm knew about Wenzel and everything that Wenzel was doing, and more specifically, what he wasn't doing, which was when they told him to stop. Now, the plaintiffs, his family, contended that it was unreasonable for Storm to use deadly force when he could have used the baton or the pepper spray on his belt. But the use of force, first off, the whole concept of use of force spectrum, you do not have to exhaust lesser force options before deadly force is employed. Whether or not deadly force is reasonable is based on the four Graham factors. And one of those factors is not whether or not lesser force has failed. Now, There are a lot of departments with policies with these use of force spectrums and these policies, but that's not, you know, there's a difference between policy and the law. And the court said, hey, look, we will not judge an officer's use of force with the 2020 hindsight vision, right? That Monday morning quarterbacking. They make an allowance, and they cite the Graham decision for the concept that they make an allowance for the fact that police officers are often forced to make split-second judgments in circumstances that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving about the amount of force that's necessary in a particular situation. And the court ruled that a reasonable officer on the scene would have viewed Wenzel's indisputably aggressive approach as a precursor to a physical altercation, and Officer Storm was required to make a split-second decision in unpredictable and dangerous circumstances, and he was not constitutionally required to attempt to reholster his firearm, grab a baton or pepper spray, and do battle with this fast-approaching, known-to-be-confrontational person. And so they reversed the lower court's decision denying qualified immunity, did the right thing, and gave the officer qualified immunity. Now, these are just my particular footnotes here about this decision, some comments, notes that I jotted down that I want to share with you. The court, you'll note, in the Eighth Circuit, they didn't really apply all of the Graham factors. They didn't go through and do an analysis on all four. You know, what was the severity of the crime? What was the immediacy of the threat? What was whether or not there was active resistance and attempting? They really focused on the immediacy of the threat, and that's because when the immediacy of the threat of serious physical harm or death, when there's this really, really high threat and it's immediate. When the immediacy of the threat is high, the other three factors aren't quite as important. Look, there are routine traffic stops where you stop someone for doing 55 and a 45, right? What's the severity of the crime there? Really, really low. But if the driver gets out of the car and pulls out a gun and starts shooting at you, it really doesn't matter how low the severity of the crime is. It's the fact that the threat is really immediate. And in the deadly force confrontations of the four Graham factors, the immediacy of the threat is always the key factor, and it's the only factor the court focused on in this case. So that's just a little footnote I want to point out there, that if when the immediacy of the threat is that high, that's all there is. That's all you need to look at. The other factors aren't dispositive when the immediacy of the threat is that high. And I'd also like to add a footnote. It's a little disappointing. A district court in the Eastern District of Missouri, they apparently, based on their ruling, they don't think that an officer can use deadly force unless a person has a gun in his hand. How many cops have been shot with their own weapon by aggressive people where they went hands-on with someone who's very aggressive and angry, trying to wrestle with them, giving this person commands to stop and or giving this person commands to drop the gun. How many law enforcement officers have been shot with their own weapon as a result of going into hand-to-hand wrestling with someone who was aggressive and was a threat to them? And the Fourth Amendment doesn't require that. And as the Eighth Circuit properly noted, hopefully the court there in the Eastern District of Missouri took that as a takeaway and learned a little something from this case. So there you go, a use of force case, Wenzel versus Storm out of the Eighth Circuit, the 9th of August, 2018. Well, that's it for this edition of Broadcast Blue. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope to see you back here again real soon.
This presentation is provided for purely academic purposes. I'm fond of saying I'm a lawyer, but I'm not your lawyer. And what I mean by that is that I do not provide formal legal advice through these presentations. No part of this presentation is offered, nor should it be construed as legal advice. If you need formal legal advice regarding any part of this presentation or have legal questions, you should consult with your attorney.